Welcome to Catching Foxes Podcast. I'm Gina.
I'm Cody.
And today we are hanging out with Angel and Andrew, and we're going to learn a little bit more about them.
Hi, guys. I'm Angel.
Hello. My name is Andrew.
So just tell us who you are, what you do for work, and how long you guys have been together.
Okay. My name is Andrew. I'm 28 years old. I was born in New York, and I was about 4 years old when I moved to Point St. Lucie. I own a renovation business, and it's called Canela Renovations.
Hi, guys. I also own a business. Me and my sister together, we do all natural cleaning, home cleaning. It's called Coniglio Cleaning. So it goes together with Andrew's Coniglio Renovations. And yeah, this is a new season. He's been doing his business for 3 years, and I've just started about 5 months ago.
You had a business before that. It's just changed.
Yes, it's shifted. Yeah. And it's definitely, we found our niche.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. Thank you for being with us today. I know it's not always easy to openly share. We're really grateful for your vulnerability and willingness to hang out with us and chat.
Yes. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you guys so much. Uh-huh. You've been a big part of our marriage.
Yes. We love you guys.
We love you.
We love you guys.
How'd y'all meet?
I knew Andrew as a child. Knew of him, I should say. I was in 8th grade and I played basketball at a local, it's called Minsky Gym for all my Port St. Lucie people. And he was dating a girl that was on my team, and he came and watched her play the game, and I was the bench warmer. And I was only in 8th grade. He was a sophomore in high school already. I didn't notice him as, oh, he's cute or anything, but I just knew of him from, that was like our first time seeing each other in person. That was the first time I noticed him, but I don't think he noticed me until high school. And we just always, we had each other on social media, friends of friends. Him and his younger brother and I graduated high school together. And we both went to the same high school. He was just in an older grade. That was mostly where. And we started messaging each other on Instagram. And then, I hate saying that part. Because, oh, you guys are such, I'm Gen Z, he's millennial. But those days, these new people are always meeting online. So that was how we met.
That's how we met.
I know, I guess I shouldn't be ashamed. That's how everybody meets now.
It was great how we met.
Awesome. How long did you guys date before you got engaged?
We dated. So she was, when we met, she was actually going to go to the Army for basic training. And we had about a week together before she had to leave. So I just felt it in my heart where the Lord was saying, wait for her when she gets back. And I remember that to this day, we were just at my mom's house on the couch, and I knew it was our last day together. And I just told her, I was just like, I want to wait for you when you get back. I'm going to be here. And yeah, so after that, I waited, and we were sending letters together. And that's like how our love story kind of like just grew, even though we wasn't seeing each other every day. But we really grew when we were writing back to each other. And
like in like paper and pen.
Paper and pen, yes. Yeah.
Aww, so romantic.
That's a legacy for like your grandkids.
Oh my gosh.
We still have all their letters. And yeah, it was just an amazing time with that, because I would never think like I would have a relationship like that, even though I didn't like ask her to be my girlfriend. But I still, said, I want to wait for you. And she was graduating from boot camp, and I was going to surprise her. And I went with her family, and I asked out in front of her family to be my girlfriend. And
I was so surprised. I thought that he was going to propose to me because of the way he was like putting the pressure, like not the pressure, I shouldn't say, but like, he was like leading up to, I have something I want to ask you. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like we only knew each other for really went on a couple dates for a week. And then I left and he was getting to know my family and through the letters and such. And I was falling in love with him. And even before I left too, I had this cross that I got when I was 16. I think my parents got it for my birthday. And it was actually a men's cross. I always wanted a little gold cross necklace and they got me a bigger cross. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to save this. And I know that I'll give it to my husband. And I think I gave it to him the second date. I didn't think about it that hard. Apparently it came quickly. Like we both, it really was like, a, you know, when you know. And after our first date, I just knew that he was the one. So I gave him it, but I didn't tell him the expectation that was behind it. I was just like, hey, I wanted to give this to you before I leave. I don't have, there's no pressure to wait for me or anything. I know we've been having a good time for this week, but I'm going to be gone for a while, at least for 6 months. And then when he told me he wanted to wait and the Lord told him to wait, I was happy. And then when he came, I was like, of course I'll be your girlfriend. Like we're already in this.
So when did you propose?
So when she got back from her training in December 2018?
Yes. Oh, no, 2017. I graduated.
2017, and then I proposed on February 10th.
2018. So we dated technically, even though for six of those months we were not physically together. We dated for 7 months.
Yeah.
So only 1 month was physically together. Wow. And maybe a little change, like about a month and a half. And then we were engaged for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then we got married May 5th, 2019.
Oh, we have a May anniversary too.
Yeah. But
it's a little earlier than that. 3 years earlier?
So. Yes.
Okay. What was your first date like?
I was nervous, but it was, I'd enjoyed it because I was, just happy to pick her up, and she didn't want me to pick her up, and she wanted to meet me there, and I was just like, no, I want to pick you up, and I wanted to greet her at her door and go inside and meet her family a little bit, and yeah, just...
Yeah, it was really fun. I was getting dressed. So we texted a little bit before and then we talked on the phone for 4 hours the night before. And he told me, I'm going to pick you up for our date, our first date. And I was like, no, I'll meet you there. And because I didn't think anything would really come from just, I was going to leave so soon for training that I wasn't like expecting. I didn't want him to know where I live and everything. I didn't know him yet. But he came and it was really sweet because me and my sister, we were trying to figure out what I should wear. I was trying on different like clothes and dresses. And I was like, I don't know what to wear. And my mom and then my two girlfriends were over and everything. It was the whole thing. It was truly like my first date. I had a boyfriend in high school. It was like on and off, but it wasn't like a legit like relationship where we went on dates and all that. It was more like the childhood things. We all have a boyfriend like that, but so I don't count him. When Andrew came to pick me up, he knocked on the door. He came in, he was wearing polo from the top down, and he had his mustache, but it wasn't as big. He has a handlebar mustache for the listeners. And he like twisted it in beeswax, and I was not expecting. I was 18. I was not expecting a man with a mustache to come and pick me up. But I knew his Instagram pictures and everything, but I didn't realize the stash. And he shook my dad's hand, shook my mom's hand. And
your dad wasn't there.
Oh, he wasn't there when he first picked me up.
Yeah,
he was there when we came back home.
What was your Instagram handle again?
No.
My what?
Your Instagram name. What was your...
Oh. When I made it, it was Pretty Boy Swag.
Pretty Boy Swag.
It used to be like Mafia Gangster. I was like, all right. I went through phases. I was like, all right, I got to change this.
We all have those awful usernames.
I know. I think when I met you, it was something simple. I don't think it was Pretty Boy Swag anymore.
I think it was Fighter.
Yes, Fighter. Yeah. Something Fighter.
Oh, darn.
It would have been funny.
That might have been a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would I explain the polo when he arrived, though?
Yes, even his polo boots. He had his jewelry on. He looked really, like, nice. And he smelled good. And I was, like, already smitten. And I mean, my girlfriends, my sister, my mom were all, like, standing in a line watching us, basically. And then I gave him, like, a side hug. And I was like, okay, we're ready. And he opened the door for me. We went to Cheddar's in St. Lucie West. It just had opened. And we remember what we ordered and everything.
Aww.
He told me his whole life story, his dreams, everything. And I just sat there and listened. And I was like, I loved how open he was and just how safe he felt right away. He felt so, he felt like I knew him forever already.
Aww. That's really sweet. What attracted you guys to each other back then? Like initially?
For me, I guess I would say definitely that feeling of just safety and knowing that I could be secure and be myself around him. I always felt that even from that first moment of meeting. And also, I always talk about this. I tell all my single girls that I know that the way that I knew that he was the one is I felt the same love the way that I knew Jesus's love for me. I felt that with him. You know how we all desire that as Christian women. We want to have a husband that loves us like Jesus loves us. And that was really how I felt, even though I didn't even know him that much. I just felt that right away. I'm still attracted to that same feeling, that same quality, how honest he was right away, how upfront and just open, like an open book. I felt like we could talk about anything, good communication right away, that he was just my guy right away.
Aww. And for me, it's just, I'm here to serve her. I'm here to serve her, not to be served. And I just always wanted to honor her in everything. And it was just like her smile and just like the little things that like made me so happy. Just being together like every day that we could when before she left. And it was just, it was different. And it was different because the Jesus was in it. And I just felt like we were doing it right. And we were just on the same page with everything. And I just saw her through our relationship. I just saw her being, her being a mother and not even being a mother, but just being a wife to me and the way she cares about me and like the way she wants me to take care of my body and just everything. And it just attracted me.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
So you guys have kids. How has your marriage changed since having kids?
Oh, that's a good one. We have two kids. Our son is 3.5 and our daughter just turned 10 months. Mm-hmm. And when we got married, we got pregnant 5 months after being married or three?
Three
months. So our first anniversary being married, I was 8 months pregnant. So we went into our relationship really like early on with kids. I always wanted to be a mom since I was 2. I played with my baby dolls all the way till I was like 14. And I've always wanted to be a mom. I wanted to be a young mom and just let God lead when we started having kids. And honestly, I feel like it's just made us better people. Just being more patient, learning about how typically sometimes you take time for granted and you don't realize how fast it goes. And when you have kids, you see how fast they grow. Like, I can't believe that my daughter's 10 months and I'm planning her first birthday party. Yeah. And I feel like we just announced we were pregnant. And it just helps you to be more present, more grateful. And so I would say that it's made our marriage better. And I don't really know if I could say that it's changed it much because I almost don't even remember before having kids.
Yeah, we can't imagine our lives without our kids. I love my son and I love my daughter, but I was, when we got married, I would want to wait a little bit, but I've always said, all right, since this conversation is up and 1.5 babies, we can go ahead and try, but I want it to be in God's timing. So if it's God's timing, he's gonna let it happen. And 3 months, we were pregnant and she surprised me, and I was crying. I was just so shocked that we were pregnant. And it was the best thing that happened to me besides getting married and becoming a father.
Okay. I want to ask a question that piggybacks off of that. If you don't want to answer, that's okay. But you guys are foster parents as well. Did the foster care process change your marriage or help you to see things in your marriage as parents that helped you grow closer together?
Absolutely. Yes. We just became foster parents. And within 4 hours of becoming foster parents, we got our first placement and two little boys that were the same, that are around the same age. They're actually both 7 months apart from our kids. So I always explain it the best that, like, I felt like I had two sets of twins. I had my daughter was 7 months younger than the youngest boy. And then my son was 7 months older than the older boy. And they were brothers, and they came from trauma, obviously, being in the foster care system. And I feel like it definitely affected our home as a whole, our marriage for sure as well. And looking back, hindsight, it's not too much longer. It's only been 2 weeks since they've been reunified with their parents. And I see how it was refining, and I'm still processing all of that. But definitely for our marriage, I felt like we had to lean on each other in a way that we never had before. Even though we've been through other things that were hard, this was testing us as parents and testing us as our hearts as people and as children of God and our servant heart, and really trying us by fire. And it definitely was edifying and exposing. And yeah, it was a hard season, honestly. It was really hard.
How long did you have them?
We had them for 3 months. And my daughter was, or our daughter, our daughter was 6 months.
Seven.
When we got placed with them. Okay, 7 months, yeah. And so it felt like I went from one to four, because I still didn't even fully adjust to the two. And maybe still a little bit of even postpartum, just brain and healing and just getting into the rhythm of motherhood of two, and then jumping into having two more. It was trying for me. I definitely saw things in my heart that I wanted God to work through. I wanted him to help me have patience. And I was leaning on Andrew for that. I was like, honey, help me just stay accountable to doing devotions and not feeling defeated. And even in that season, I even felt like I wasn't worthy. I wasn't worthy to have them. I wasn't worthy to have my kids. And definitely with the postpartum like feelings too, I think it just, that mindset destroys you in any time. So having the pressure of that on top of our marriage and our kids and them affecting all of that, it definitely was a fox.
Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, definitely when we were in the process of becoming foster parents, I noticed, and I felt like the Lord was revealing it to me, that we wasn't getting attacked when we were in the process of it. We were getting attacked when we actually had those boys, because it was hard, and we truly needed God to be able to use us and let him do his thing that he wanted us to do when we had them. And everything that we were feeling defeated every single day, it was just attack from the enemy. And obviously the enemy did not want us to do this, because it's honoring God. And we had a safe home for those boys, and it was just amazing that we were able to continue to walk and defeat the enemy. And when we felt attacked, we always knew that we need to give a focus our eyes on the Lord, so that he can refine us and that he can refill us, because at the end of the day we were drained. And there was pretty much every day we felt like we were doing it in our own strength, and that's not how it's supposed to be. We need to give everything to the Lord, and everything that we vision about or think about, and we just need to give that back to the Lord so he can be in control.
Yeah, that's really good. Taking making beauty from ashes. Yeah. That's what I felt like. And it definitely was, it was a constant, even multiple times a day, taking it onto our shoulders and recognizing one or the other, hey, let me just take this, because of the tantrum or they're fighting or whatever it was, we were tired. And just those moments of, I had such high expectations, and that comes crashing down when you try and do things in your own strength and I've learned this in the past, but yeah. I'm so grateful for just having my husband to keep me accountable in that and help me know, like, just because you have these high expectations and you don't meet them doesn't mean you're a failure. Doesn't mean that this was a mistake or that this isn't going to produce anything and that it was a waste. So I'm grateful for just having that.
Thank you for sharing. It helps Cody and I because we're still in the waiting for that and it's going to be interesting. Okay.
We'll cover you guys in prayer and we'll be with you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So what tools have you and your spouse used to get to know each other better, understand each other better, and spend quality time together?
Some tools I would say is we always are challenging ourselves to go on like adventures. Instead of calling it dates, we'll say, let's go on an adventure. And sometimes it can literally be something that we've done before, go to the beach or go on a hike that we've been on already. But we just try and romanticize life.
She always tells me to do 20 push-ups.
Why?
They're like big muscles. It's a military thing, maybe.
I've been working out, and she's just like, I don't want your arms to get small.
I was like, what? Repeat the question.
What tools have you and your spouse used to get to know each other better, understand each other better? And then quality time together.
Well, quality time, she's have a push-up contacts or something.
I never do that. I'm just saying.
Okay.
We definitely try and make time to just laugh together every day.
Yeah.
Go on a walk. Those are quality. We take the little moments, especially having young kids. We have to be intentional to make life romantic and slap each other's butt in the kitchen or send a dirty text every once in a while.
I try to make jokes like when we're just home together and I'm just...
You don't need to give any examples.
No, yeah, you got to speak almost in another language because the kids will start understanding eventually. And
oh, Shiloh's been noticing when Cody kisses me. And she'll say, Daddy, don't put your mouth in mommy's mouth.
So visual. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we came up with the mating call. So I guess whenever Andrew's wanting to do it, he goes, like SpongeBob. And that's a new thing. Yes.
I'm ready.
Because Asher is definitely at that age where he like picks up everything and observes.
We have a secret language. But I used to be in banking, so I have like banking terms that we use. Do you need to make a mobile deposit?
Oh my gosh. That's a good one. We might try that.
It's all money related. The kids have no idea.
You guys are like ballers to them.
Someday Madeline is going to get married and be like, oh, mom.
That's great. What they were talking about.
That's oh, the gosh. Letters to your daughters right there. Make sure.
Yeah, if she listens to this.
Oh, it's our legacy. I'm literally laughing and crying.
It's awesome.
All right, those are tools. Do you guys have tools that have helped you outside of just like quality time? Like, are there any books or resources that you've used that have helped you in your marriage?
We did join a marriage group at church a couple years ago. Our leaders were pretty great. And that was definitely a big tool. I guess when we first got married, we did go through a study that was called Keep Your Love On. Mm-hmm. And that was a great tool. I definitely recommend that study. I'm trying to remember the author, but I can't. And then we also went through Financial Peace when we first got married. And that was just a good tool to, honestly, it didn't just help with stewarding our finances, but also just like communicating and making sure we were on the same page, and it trickled into other things too, communication and other aspects, not just money. And then, yeah, the books that we went through with you guys when we joined our marriage group, those were helpful. And my parents have been married for 26 years will be this year. And they have been mentors, and we've learned what to do. We've learned what not to do. And they're always open to conversations and such, and just voices of wisdom. So those are our moral tools.
Thank you. Okay. Did you pray for your spouse before you got married? Like before you even knew them?
Yes, I did. Sorry, I didn't know if you were going to say. But yes, I did. I don't know if it's just like a girl thing, but I did all throughout high school, mostly when I started really thinking about wanting to be a wife and a mother and all of that. And I started praying for my husband just specifically. I went to youth groups and stuff. We would have different revival nights or worship nights and just group meetings and stuff. And most of the young girls were always talking about if we wanted to get married and how we envisioned it and things like that, and fantasize their wedding dresses and stuff. And I didn't think so much about that part of it. I thought more about the practical, like, marriage part. And I would just always pray that my husband was just being brought into the Lord, and that he had his heart for God, and that he was a strong man of God, and that he had health, and just that the Lord would be his main source, so that I knew that when he saw me, he would know that I was his wife. So it took the pressure off of, I was never really boy crazy or anything. I just knew that whoever he was, he would know.
Oh, that's really awesome. I didn't pray for Cody. I didn't know Jesus, so I didn't know I should be praying for you, but I love hearing the stories of the people who did. And some of the amazing things that they did, like journaling and things like that. I love those stories where it's, I'm going to do this in the waiting, and then when I meet them, I'll give it to them, and then it'll mean so much. It's very special. So thank you.
Yeah, I love that. I did journal. I used to journal, but I would write in my boyfriend at the time, his name. And I learned that finally, like when I became a senior in high school, that I just needed to release that aspect of control. And just right after that is when I met Andrew. I had to stop like praying specifically for one person and just pray for my husband in a general sense, and knowing that God would be the one to decide.
What about you? Did you pray for her?
I don't remember I did, because I actually just gave my life to the Lord July 9th, 2017. And we met July 20th, I think. It was the end of that month. So I was just a new believer. So I didn't pray.
You were like on fire for God. Yeah, you weren't distracted by.
I was just so focused on him, and I was just reading the word. And when I met Angel, that's when I started to pray for her and for just our relationship and our marriage and our lives.
Some of our letters, we wrote prayers over each other back and forth. And I know I had one that was, I put on my locker in training, that I would pray, and then he would send me pictures of himself or whatever he was doing. And I would put that on my locker too, and just, it would be a reminder, something to look forward to and pray for.
Yeah, I got baptized in St. Augustine, and I sent her pictures of me being baptized through the letters. Aww. And it was amazing to be on fire for God, but also having her seeing all that.
To celebrate with you.
Yeah.
It was an honor for sure.
Because it just goes through with what she was praying for, and just God's timing with everything for her praying for a godly man and godly husband.
And he brought you together equally yoked.
Yes.
Yes. Perfect timing.
I love it. Do you guys pray for each other now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, every day. Usually it's like a little prayer that I do every day when he goes to work, or when I leave too. if I'm going out with the kids or something or going to work myself, then I'll just pray protection over him. And then just that the Lord will speak to him. He'll incline his ear to the Father's voice and be led by him. And that God's hand will just be over him, over his business, over his body and his mind, just protection. I think it's important as wives to keep our husbands covered. And sometimes it's easy for the enemy to make that like a back thought or not even, or silence you to even praying for your husband, because we pray for our kids a lot because we're always with them and we see they're little and they need guidance. They need that. And so do our husbands, right? Husbands need that care too. And I can definitely notice a difference if I don't pray for him with his character and his attitude for the day. And sometimes it's easier for them to be hit by stones that the enemy's trying to throw if we're not just keeping that covering.
Definitely. Yeah. What about you?
Yes, I do pray for her when I'm in the ward in the morning, and I just pray for her day and just her to have strength in the morning and just have a great day and to be with the babies too. And I just pray over the house and the kids.
Yeah, sometimes just those small prayers, and then other times we'll lay hands on each other if we need to and pray at night together, depending if there's something going on or whatnot that we need that extra interceding.
That's awesome. I think it's really important to pray together. That's why I ask so many questions about prayer.
So good.
It is.
It encourages us and helps us even think about it, because it's a habit that you have to choose to do. So of course, it's not going to come naturally.
Yeah. You have to be intentional.
Definitely.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the foxes. You guys you were with me when I read Song of Solomon 2:15, and like God moved in our group and it was amazing. So I feel like I don't have to explain a whole lot about it because we've talked about it a lot, but are there foxes that you can identify that have attempted to destroy your family or marriage?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we have little ones, and then we have ones that were more noticeable, the sneaky ones. I would say the beginning of our marriage, it was more so just the transition of first being children, living in our parents' home, and then coming together and starting our own family, and just that transition that sometimes is difficult for a lot of like newlyweds, especially when you have a close-knit family unit and you're veering off. And we were both the first kids on both sides of our family to be married, and just trying to learn how that's supposed to look, how we're supposed to become one flesh. That was just a little bit of a difficult little hump in the road, fox that could have been detrimental. Sometimes like those little foxes are the ones that will separate us. And I remember even when we were engaged, there was a time where we talked about maybe we shouldn't get married. There's so much pushback.
Yeah.
And because originally we were supposed to get married
September.
Yeah. September 9th. And we pushed it to May 5th. And it was just the fear of financial different opinions from our family members, and just not really knowing if that was warfare or if that was like a sign from God that we weren't supposed to be together. And just those questions, because we were so young and just trying to figure it all out. That was definitely like the first fox we encountered, which was really early on, because technically it was before we were married.
Yeah. I would say I knew I'd be better off getting married sooner, but I was such a mama's boy, and I just allowed fear to stop me from pursuing her and allowing our lives to continue to move forward with the Lord. But that fear was able to stop me and from realizing it to be a man of God. I should have had a little more confidence. And just explain it to my mom, be like, Mom, you raised me, and all I want you to do is to be proud of me and just to support me and help me and realize that I'm in love and I just want to do this right. And
yeah, I would say too, there's nothing wrong with being a mama's boy. usually.
No, that's not. Yeah. I'm just talking about from like a being supportive in that area.
Yeah.
And yeah. From, yeah.
Definitely. And even too for with my mom, I think it's just hard now that I'm a mother. I can definitely tell how it would be. It is difficult to see your first baby.
Get married.
Yeah. And they go off and they're starting their own family. And that's a hard transition, and it affects them and affects us. And it was the first little hump in the road for us, was just figuring out how to come together and be one and learn how to be husband and wife. That's already like a big step. So then having interference is, of course, an added little fox.
Yeah, we dealt with that too from my family. So I understand. And my family's not Christian. So what other foxes do you guys identify in your marriage?
After that, I would say our fox was a little bit, for me, it was like not being sure in myself and insecurity, and even a little bit of trying to be so independent. Like it was hard for me to lean into that role as a wife and be submissive and understanding what submission is and how beautiful it is and not being independent anymore.
For me, I would say struggling with lust, anger, and pride. Felt like the Lord revealed this to me probably 2 months ago. And I've always asked the Lord, I was just like, Lord, why am I dealing with this now? With lust and even anger and pride. And where it came about was when I was in my childhood and I saw these magazines, half naked women, and they weren't ugly. And I just felt like they made it a point where they're going to put these women on these magazines. They wanted you to see it all. And then when we were getting so close to our wedding, I realized that's where it came from. And I was just mad because it ruined my purity. And just remembering that I am saved and God renews my mind and renews my being, and that I have been redeemed and that I gave my life to the Lord, and he just washes that all away and to make everything new.
It's helpful to have that insight, especially I think having a son.
Yeah.
Because the age of technology, like where it was magazines when we were really small, it like grew into the internet, and now the internet is this disaster waiting to happen for young people. So I think having that insight is really powerful because it will allow you to break a curse with your son.
My prayer has been always for our children's generation to be stronger than ours. And I want to see my son to marry his first girlfriend and first wife. I don't want him to have multiple women. And I just pray for his life, and I pray for his wife, that he just knows his identity in Christ. And I want my son's purity to be covered by the blood of Jesus, and so as my daughter. And you don't realize what you see when you're a child, it affects you. And I think it's pretty wild that I forgot. And I just remembered a random day I was working. I was just like, oh, wow.
We were intentionally praying to know what the root was.
Yeah.
Because he would have these dreams or thoughts and he would come to me with them. And it was hard for me not to be hurt.
Yeah.
Feeling, am I not enough for you already? Or why are you imagining anything else? And he was just humbly coming before me and crying, this is something that I'm struggling with. And I really need help. And I want to be honest, confessing my sins to you. And whatever, if I need to seek out wise counsel or help for that, then I will. So we were just trying to figure out like what to do. And that was even in our early marriage and up until about a year ago. And when the Lord revealed the root, And I felt like that was where there was really like a broken chain. Like sometimes we have to ask him where it all began and just let him lead us there so that we can have healing and recognize that, like you said, we're redeemed. We're not our past and the things that we've seen and heard. Yes, it affects. It's like that song, Little Eyes, Be Careful, Little Ears, Be Careful What You Hear. Father up above is looking down with love. That was something that we definitely implement in our home with our kids because of our childhood. And yeah, I'm really proud of you for just being open and honest and having freedom.
Yeah, thank you, baby. Yeah, the first time when it all happened, I was trying to figure out if I even should tell her or should I find a guy to talk to. But the Lord said, I want you to go tell your wife. And I did. And it was probably the hardest thing that I had to do. But it also, it just felt good to say it and to not hide it, because I wanted to be truthful, and I want to humble myself and lay it down and give it to Jesus, because I knew it would just like hurt me.
Yeah, that's a brave choice.
Yeah.
Are there any other foxes that you want to talk about?
We could go into the one that we just went through.
Probably yeah. Should. Yeah.
Okay. Last year, Andrew was diagnosed with cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it was definitely the hardest thing we've ever been through. Yeah. And it definitely took a toll on us, on our family, and we already had our son. He was 2. He just turned 2. Mm-hmm. And we were going through testing, and it took a long time for the doctors to figure out what it was. They did biopsy after biopsy. We were just trying to speak life over this scary thing that the enemy was just attacking our family with.
Yeah.
And I got pregnant the month that
we got pregnant in July, and then the first treatment was in August.
Yeah. He was going through chemotherapy the same time I was going through pregnancy, and it was just hard.
It was hard.
It was a hard box.
It was hard because it was just a blessing to have another child, but it was so hard for me to focus on my wife and her pregnancy, because dealing with what I was going through just affected my ability to take care of her and just being there. I just felt like the enemy was taking that away from me. But every morning, every day, I was praying, Lord, give me strength to overcome this. And she thought that she was going to get a full-time job and that I would just stay home. And I couldn't let myself do that, because I needed to be that leader in the household and show the enemy who he was trying to mess with that he wasn't going to win, and that the Lord was on our side, and that we were going to overcome this, because the enemy is just a defeated foe. And even though he was trying to break us, he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, that season it brought so many other little foxes in the midst too, because it wasn't just, okay, let's focus on you getting better, but let's also take care of this baby that's growing in in my womb. And let's also try and navigate different opinions and staying unified as a married couple. And just when you're faced with something big that you never expect, you have 2 choices. It's either you go closer to God or you turn away from him. And it's hard sometimes to be on the same page when you're married. I knew that I just had to come alongside of Andrew. And I was, when I got the call that they had found a mass in his chest. I was in training. It was like in St. Augustine. It was like 4 or 5 hours away. And it was just totally the Lord. I was typically with the military, you're training hard. Like you don't really have time to be on your phone. And when you're in an FTX, usually you don't even have your phone. And I was able that whole entire day to just be outside. It's like camping almost. Like we were outside. We just set up our tents and everything. It was beautiful. And I just had my Bible all day long. And that's unheard of. So I was in the Word, and I don't know, it felt like there was a shift coming even before they had found this mass. There was already like this change in our life that I even told my job at the time. I was nannying a little boy, and I told his mom, "Hey, I think I'm going to take a break. It really feels like there's going to be a change." We were looking forward to it. We thought, yeah. Okay, Lord, what are you doing? We feel this in the atmosphere. We were just praying about it. And then, you know, within weeks,
yeah,
we got that.
I remember I came up to you at the front door. I was just like, "Babe, I just feel this change is coming." And it was the end of the March, and I was really praying about my renovation business to either do it part-time, continue to do it part-time, or to leave my job at the city to pursue my business. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to just trust him. And not saying that he put this on me, because he doesn't put sickness on his children. And this was just attacked from the enemy. And so at the end of March, all of that stuff was happening beginning of April. So I was on that long-term medical leave. And the Lord just showed me to be with my family and to focus on the business, because having your own business can be still busy, but you can take the time that you need and to be with your family more. And
God's hand was totally over it too.
Yeah.
You guys, within like a month, it seemed like you got this diagnosis, you found out you were pregnant, and then you were like figuring out your business, and you had like your whole lives change. We just sat there and watched it. You guys lived it, but your life was like flipped over
completely.
Yeah, but you guys were definitely there for us. And like, we just appreciate you guys for always being there and coming over, praying and stuff. And
yeah,
like we always prayed for friends and like a couple and stuff. And when we met you guys, we met Ashley and Dusty and
Melanie, Yoel.
Yeah, Melanie and Royal.
Jody and Carlos.
Yeah, just a whole bunch of friends that we call family. And it's beautiful to look back at, but it's also beautiful to see like how far we came and all together, really. And everyone was going through something during that time.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, God always knows. And I think like throughout that season and for the rest of our lives, it will be a trial that will be all for the glory of God. And we knew that in the midst of it, we knew to rejoice and know that God was with us. And we felt that comfort. The peace that surpasses all understanding was definitely there. And even with the baby, Anna, she was just healthy. I wasn't even really focused on my pregnancy as much as typically I would. Just going through trusting God, and same thing with bringing Andrew to his appointments and taking care of home and just praying over him. And we had lots of worship nights and just nights crying. And Asher learned so much about how to warfare. We would like dance at night and just spear the enemy. We'd put worship on really loud and just kick and punch and be like, "You're defeated. Like, you don't have any place here. No sickness." And we'd say, "Go in the name of Jesus." And when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he gave us authority. And we just wanted to, it was really like, we got to see it.
Yeah.
We know that there's authority, but not all the time you get to see it that close. And we knew that the Lord was just going to hold us through. There was times in it, though, that it was really just hard to stay positive and in that perspective. There was a lot of question. Yeah. Why, Lord? Why isn't this going away? And at different times. And honestly, Andrew was stronger than me. He would be the one to encourage me. Even after chemo and being nauseous and tired. And he would just tell me, "I'm okay. God's already healed me. He's already taken it away. We don't have to have any fear." And our family came alongside of us with that and standing in faith. And our friends, like you guys, and coming, laying hands, bringing meals. those are things that we'll always appreciate. And that's what helped us. And I would look at my husband in the middle of the night and just start tearing up because I was just grateful that he was alive. And when I would wake up in the morning, and even still, I do that now. And I probably wouldn't have if I didn't go through this season where I'm so grateful just for him being alive. So then everything else is like extra. And those are things that I definitely took for granted before, the little nagging and nitpicking and desiring something more from each other and those typical things in marriage that we go through. It just, those things don't matter to me. Now I feel like we're just so strong together because what else wouldn't God be able to bring us through? Okay. That's the worst news that I could imagine. And God took us through it.
You guys have definitely matured, like in a lot of ways. Just, I remember meeting you for the first time, which you totally don't remember at all. But like we were in this ladies' Bible study and Asher was like still a little baby. I think he was probably like 6 months old.
Same age as Shiloh.
Yeah. And I remember just like seeing you and you had such a beautiful smile. And you had this lovely golden curly hair. And I just wanted to sit with you because you were so sunshiny. Like you were closer to my age and you had brought your baby in. And that was something I had thought about doing because nobody else had brought their kids. And I don't know, God made you my friend then. And then I saw you a couple of times at church and you joined our group. And it was like, oh, okay, God, I see what you did there. And like, it's just, you've always been like, so both of you have always been such like dreamy, optimistic, like just lovely, romanticized people. And I remember even before you had Anna, before you were pregnant, you guys sat on our couch and talked about your daughter. And just, you've always been so confident in what you've declared and in what God has told you. And seeing how you've grown through having your own businesses and through beating cancer and through being parents and just developing as you age, like it's been such a treasure for Cody and I to watch you kind of emerge. Like I feel like this is the season where the butterfly comes out. And I'm just so like thankful to get to see you guys do that. So
yeah, it goes to your guys's maturity level that you guys can even look back at that situation and realize, you know, God doesn't tell us everything's going to be easy, but he says all things work to the good of those who love him. And you guys realizing that this crappy situation was used for good. You have a better appreciation of your husband now. And you were a foundation even in this chaotic, terrible, awful time to your wife. It's awesome. Like, yeah. And you guys recognize that. It's just next level maturity.
Yeah. And you're the youngest ones in our group, and you responded to this cancer in a way that none of us could have done. Like, all of us learned from you, the whole group, because the way that you responded as his wife was like a warrior. You got armor, and you just, like, battled, and we watched you. And I remember saying, like, to everybody who would listen, like, she is such a good example as a wife in this situation. Like, yes. I don't think I would have known to do that.
Oh, you guys are going to make me cry.
Thank you. We're just really proud of you. We love you.
Thank you. It's funny how you say like a warrior, because that's literally what I've always imagined. Like every time that we've went through anything, I feel like we literally lock arms and we're like soldiers. I don't know if it's because I'm like ex-military or what. But I feel like we lock arms and we're like strap our boots and army crawl through. And there's nothing that can stop us, because we know that God is fighting for us. He's ultimately going to be the one in control.
Yes.
And Jesus, like you said, Cody, like he never promised us this easy life. And Jesus went through hardship. If he knows oppression more than any of us, if he knows pain and even to his body.
Yeah.
And just that gratitude and honor to God and knowing like our Savior, he cares for us that much, and being able to see it closer. When you go through hardship, almost people always say, I felt so close to Jesus in my hardship. I almost want to stay there. And I definitely don't want to stay there. But there is this sense of deep dependency and yearning for Jesus that you can't live without him. And I want that all the time, not just in the midst of a really hard thing. But your faith, we have a measure of faith and it's to be exercised. And I think when we go through battles and hardships, little and big, and we never want to compare to other people's hardships. Everybody like responds to things differently. And even things that could be small to one person could be really big to another. And it's just a matter of how we allow the Lord to stretch us.
And the biggest thing is too, when you go through something hard, even if you don't go through something hard, you have the power in your tongue either to speak life or death. And even though we were going through that, we were always speaking life, because the enemy can just use something so small when you say something that's death or just being negative. And we have to have that discernment of to either correct ourselves or to correct somebody, and to correct them before the enemy can even use that. And I'm so big on that, even with Corson and just saying something. Like, I was on a walk with my son and my daughter, and Angel was at work, and these little boys, they hang out with Asher, and they were like, "Oh, Asher, you're Spider-Man? We're the bad guys, so you need to kill us." And I was just like, "Whoa, whoa, guys. I know you guys are just playing, but let's not use that type of word." And I know they're kids. When like a adult, they need to be corrected on what not to say and to say, because being a child and what they need to know.
They don't understand that death is forever.
Yeah. And
yeah. They don't. And like, this society like has numbed everyone to that concept. And like, the purity of children is just not valued the way it was. And we try to do that with our kids as well, but we get a lot of weird looks or a lot of unsolicited advice on how we're parenting.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we have to teach them how this life is, because it's just little boys down the road. Like, we can guard what he watches on TV, what he listens to, who he's with. But as he's getting bigger and he's only 3 and a half, we can already see that there's going to be influence. So what can we do? We have to give them tools and have an open communication, like really teaching them. I wouldn't think I would have to have a conversation with the 3.5-year-old about power in your tongue, but he needs to know now.
He needs to know now.
Because we wish that we knew. My parents, thankfully, like, I did know to an extent, but of course you learn things too as you get older and go through things, and just having Jesus in your life will help you persevere.
I do want to go back to when we were going through the cancer, and this was the early stages, was getting my testing the blood, my blood, or just like the checkups. And I remember I was just so frustrated when I was walking into the hospital, and I remember I was walking in, I was just like, I was just so frustrated. And even though I was so frustrated, the Lord was still speaking to me. And when I was walking, and he just said, "Come on, my son, walk with me." And after that, I just had so much peace with everything. I still hurt of going through it, but for everything that he told me, was just so like amazing. And he wanted me to trust him, and he wanted me to focus on him. And the other thing was big, that we went to Billy Graham, the Cove in North Carolina, on my birthday. It was just me and my wife, and it was just a retreat to spend time with God. And it wasn't like a set schedule. It was just like a freely time where you get to spend with him. And I remember we were upstairs just on the couch, and we were in the Word together, but we were doing it like separately. And I asked the Lord, I was like, "Lord, why do I feel all this pain?" And he said, "I want you to be in my well-being." And his well-being means healing and his body. And I just held on to that to continue to overcome this.
I remember praying over you, and I've never forgotten this moment, and it happened repeatedly, but it's been a huge example to Cody and I, because you would say, I receive it. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of faith, especially in a scary situation, to believe that God has said that to you and to receive it. So that was really powerful.
Yeah.
And I could tell that you believed it.
So beautiful when we get to hear the Lord's voice.
Yeah.
The number one thing I can say to a spouse going through anything health related would be, it's okay to cry. It's okay to decompress and process what you're going through and what you're watching the person you love the most go through. But don't allow the fear of those feelings to overcome, because it will affect that spouse. And that's not to put pressure on anybody, but it's just when you're processing, when you're crying, when you're in pain, when it's hard, go through it with Jesus. There's no other way. There's no better way. Any other way opens doors. It could have opened doors to worse things, to bad news. And all we can do as the spouse is come in agreement with the level of faith that our spouse was like, Andrew, when he was going through, I could only come together with his faith and I could lift him up and encourage him. But ultimately it was what he was physically battling, but supernaturally and spiritually were one flesh. So I could only come alongside of him and not hold him together, but just like kneel down to Jesus together.
Mm-hmm. There's fruits of your faith in your life today, like the healing,
yes,
your success with your businesses, having another child, like all of these things are evidence of your faithfulness and your reliance and your dedication to the season of growing and healing. And I don't think you would have those things if you hadn't responded the way that you did. Because I know it's a huge leap to like financially go into business for yourself.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have had success if God didn't want you to have success.
Yes.
Yeah, we believe that. It's always his will. And our baby girl is the number one fruit from this season. It was like, we had been wanting to have another baby for about a year and a half.
Year and a half.
But I was still breastfeeding, so that could have put into that. But we were trying, and the last thing we expected for when it to happen would be the month that we knew he was going to start chemo. That would, if anything, to most people, that would be like the worst timing, because I needed to focus on helping him, taking care of him, and not now having to focus on myself and taking care of my baby growing in my belly. But we just knew that the Lord was giving us our Anna, which means mercy and grace. And in that season of me physically carrying Anna, mercy and grace in my womb, he was carrying us with mercy and grace throughout us. Such a hard season. And I just believe that God gave us her at that time because he wanted us to see that he was it was like confirmation that he was going to take care of us.
Yes.
There was going to be a birth from physically, yes, from my baby being born, but then also just a breakthrough. And in the hard moments, it was such a reminder, just watching my belly grow or feeling her move around. That was such a reminder that God is here. God is here.
Yeah.
That's and really beautiful.
Thank you. And she's named after Andrew's grandma who beat cancer 5 years before you did.
Yeah, she was 86.
Yeah. And she's 91 now, cancer free. And she beat cancer and the Lord healed her supernaturally too. She would pray over her body every day, and she declared that she was going to, in her frustration, truly, she declared that she wasn't going to go back. She was like, I'm too old for this. I'm not going to my next treatments. This is going to be my last one. And they told her that she didn't have to come back that one. She still had four more.
Yeah.
And yeah, God just healed her, and she's 91 now.
Wow. Praise God. That's beautiful.
Yeah. God is miraculous.
Yeah. How do you guys like commission one another or hold each other accountable in the foxes that you feel you've already caught and then the stuff that's ongoing in your marriage outside of push-up contests?
I would say with when we had the boys, she would just say, just like she wouldn't want to do this anymore and just like negative things. And I would correct her and I was just like, honey, we need to redirect ourselves to the Lord because we are doing it in our strength. And that's the biggest thing that I've noticed.
Yeah, you do a great job at commissioning me back on the right path.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I like with my emotions or my feelings, I'll get off and just, this is hard, and almost throw a tantrum.
Yeah.
And I know the Lord and I know that he's here and he's watching me and it's a stop. But Andrew helps me just get back on the right track and just know, like, I feel because he looks at me the way Jesus does. And this goes back to even when we first met, that first like attraction of the way he loves me, the way I always know God's love for me. And he like pursues me, like he leaves the 99 to go get the one. And I really feel like Andrew always does that. And he doesn't even think about it. It's really just like when you're married, you're equipped with the tools that you need to be a spouse to your spouse because God gave you them. So he's going to give you what they need from you because he's not going to expect you to give it to them. I would fail every day. So I really believe that God uses him to just always encourage me to draw near to him and to speak into me who I am, my identity in the Lord. And that always like diminishes the fox of insecurity and the fox of just not being enough, unworthiness, which sometimes attacks me a lot, especially when I'm going through something that's like pressing. It seems like those are always the things that come out. Like with a sponge, I always imagine our hearts like a sponge. And if it's pressed, you're going to see what comes out. I'm pretty strong. I can put a facade, but the Lord knows how to press me. Yeah. And he knows that I need to be refined. And it's typically what comes out is always like either frustration or unworthiness. And it's just a lie from the enemy. Mm-hmm. Andrew always commissions me to the Lord back on track. This is what you are designed for. This is how God sees you, and that's who you are. And we just talk a lot. I think that's really key in our marriage is we always know what each other's feeling. We don't go a day without knowing where we are, headspace, mind, and just our spirit and stuff. So we have that opportunity to help each other see things in a different perspective. I love that we think so differently too.
Yeah.
So he sees the same, we could be looking at the same thing and he'll see it in a different light. And that helps me.
That's awesome. Okay, let's see where we are. What are some practical ways that other couples who are struggling with similar foxes can catch them?
What I said about like a spouse that might be going through sickness, that's definitely my number one advice, is to go through it with Jesus. And I know practically I can tell you crying and feeling fearful or having dreams that just was from the enemy.
Yeah.
Anything, imagining things that weren't going to be, and just taking authority of those things and committing your mind to Christ, submitting those thoughts. And yeah, practically, I think just also communicating through them, knowing and reading the word. You have to be filled with the word. It's the most important thing. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can steal our mindset from being focused on the word of God, then he can take us. It's like taking your head and moving you around. Like he has control of your whole body. Yeah. And as children of God, that's not true. So we just have to pop that bubble and not allow those lies, not allow him to take anything from us. Yeah.
Do you guys have any scripture that you rely on that helps you in this journey?
Yes. We took some screenshots to make sure we said the right ones. We should know this by heart. But this was the one that you spoke over yourself every single day when we went through when he was going through chemo.
James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
It's a really good one.
Yeah, just the enemy was just trying to get in my mind and in order to for me to get through, I had to submit to God and resist the devil, and the devil will flee from me.
Yeah, a lot of times we forget that first part, submit to God.
Yeah.
We try and resist the devil, and obviously we know that Jesus died for us and gave us the authority to resist the devil, but the scripture is the way that it's supposed to be. We're supposed to submit to God first, and sometimes that means trusting him through a hard trial. Another one is James 1:4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Mark 10:8, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. It's really good to always view each other as one.
Yes.
If I'm pushing him down or thinking about him in a negative way, or he's going through something, so am I. I'm talking about myself, where we have that power over each other. And that's not to take advantage of. That's something we want to lift each other up, because that's lifting ourselves up too. Yeah. We have to look at ourselves like not only a team, but literally one. And then Psalm 91, pretty much the whole chapter we spoke over you. But specifically verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Yeah. And the fox of just lust and insecurity and anger, those things that sometimes try and raise to the surface again. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful.
Yes.
Those are all really good. And I love that you have like specific applications for your life, because it's scripture in action. Like, I love praying scripture and I love living scripture.
So good.
Yes.
Okay. What mentors and examples have you had in your marriage to hold you accountable and encourage you? I know you mentioned your parents and their long marriage.
I really don't have.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's not common. that's why we ask, because it's not common to have mentors and people that are like invested in your marriage that are maybe in a season ahead. And we're trying to highlight that because it's really important.
That is. That's something I desire.
I wasn't really, like, even if I had a mentor, I don't think I would focus on him or focus on that mentor. I really just needed to focus on Jesus, because he's the only one who can get me out of something.
Yeah.
And
it's definitely biblical to seek wise counsel. And I don't know why it's so hard to find wise counsel these days. We need these Titus 2 men and women to rise up in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's bad to have a mentor, but I guess I don't want to sound prideful, but I guess I was just really wanted to hear from the Lord.
Yeah, we do have a lot. Our friends, I feel like iron sharpens iron, and we've in different seasons helped each other through things. Like, you pull each other up the hill in the next, and God gives you the right people, I feel like, that you need in a certain season. And sometimes those friendships dwindle, and then they can come back, or they could just be for that season. And I'm really grateful for lots of friends that we've had, and
me too.
People who have come and gone and stayed.
Yeah.
So grateful. And we do have our family. And with my parents, I love how open they are with their marriage, where they can teach us really things that they've learned what not to do. They're not like, oh, look at my banner, like, we're living this perfect. They definitely still have troubles, and they're just like real with it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. I appreciate knowing like we're not alone in that. Yeah. I definitely want some wise counsel. We're taking applications.
Yeah, I do want to seek wise counsel, because there's definitely things that I need to grow in and learn more to.
Have you guys ever experienced spiritual warfare while catching foxes or because of catching foxes?
I think for sure because of catching foxes. I think the enemy hates it when we identify a fox. When we identify his plan, he's strategic, but so is the Lord. And we have to submit to him. Submit to the Lord. Let me be clear. Submit to the Lord, because that's where our strategy will pan out. I always still go back to the military stance where there's always a way to defeat the enemy in a specific box or circumstance, and only the Lord can reveal the plan. He's the one that draws in the sand, and we just have to obey.
Yes.
I love that draws in the sand, because it's like the throw the first stone story, but we don't really know what he wrote in the sand.
I know. I like to think that it was a strategy.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's awesome. What do you do when you relapse or see the same fox that you thought you took care of come back?
To be honest, sometimes I cry. Seriously, yeah, though.
I cry too. And just something that you always have to be strong about and pray about it when it does come back again. And so just say no. You've been gone. Don't try to creep back up.
And practically,
I would say you have to be consistent with it. And always pray. And prayer is the biggest thing to do, because you're constantly giving it to the Lord.
Yeah, what a weapon. It's definitely like when Andrew he has to do PET scans every 6 months or every 3 months, maybe.
Yeah, so it's going to be every 6 months for 2 years. And then for the next 3 years, it'll be less.
Yeah,
so these 5 years is the next 5 years. I'm still going to see the doctor. I actually got a call today. The next PET scan is February 5th. And just praying that it would be all clear. And
we already know it'll be all clear. Yeah,
I know. I'm just...
It's always a reminder that God of what God already did. Yes. Yeah. That's how we have to look at it, because else fear, once again, like, yeah, if you allow that door to be open. So every single time they call us, we're like, okay, thank you, Jesus, for what you already did. And that's it. We trust you. We know that what you said is what is done, and it is finished. That was the biggest.
Yeah.
I should have even mentioned that. That was one of the biggest things that.
Another scripture that we focus on too is, by his stripes we are healed, and it is finished.
Yeah. When he died on the cross.
Yeah.
So we know that this too.
Yeah, but
it's finished.
Of course, it comes to my mind, man, I don't want to go to these PET scans anymore because it's all done. But I want to go to it without fear. And then, but I can still use this opportunity to shine the light of Jesus for the people that I would see there. And last time last year in August, I had another PET scan, and I was reading in my Bible in front of everyone, and they all said, oh, you're going to preach to us right now? I was just like, yeah, I can. So it's just awesome to
testify.
Yeah.
I always prayed when we were praying for you through the season, I was like, whoever he meets, like, I hope that like they're so astounded by the love of Jesus and the miracles that can happen that like they're affected. Like, I want to see like the medical personnel shocked because of all of the beautiful things that God does through you.
Praise God.
Those prayers were definitely answered. It was such a ripple effect.
Yeah.
There's so many nurses that would come and pray or be encouraged. Even by Andrew's tattoos, he has Jesus on his on his arm. So those are always open doors to just talk about. We can give it to God and know that he's going to make it all for his glory. We're his vessels.
Definitely. Are there any foxes that you haven't caught yet that you are working on?
Yeah, I would say for me, just like I said, with when the Lord always brings me to a point of pressing, that unworthiness, it comes out in a way of I'm angry. I think because I'm like frustrated with myself, and it's just a lie. And I think that's still a fox that we're constantly together, just coming against and battling and having to be reminded who I am and also walking in that.
I would say for me, it would be feeling lazy, just like with things that I have to do. I need to have a little more fire in me and not let me feeling like I'm being pushed down. and just need to be better in the morning in the Word and just being with my children. And yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we put unrealistic expectations on ourselves still. I don't know. I think we're still even processing that, because I think you're the furthest person from being lazy.
Yeah. I know I can work and do a remodel, but it's honestly the more important things.
Yeah, like time with Jesus.
Yeah, time with Jesus.
Consistency of that.
Time with my kids and time with you. It's like, that's what matters.